I shall be joined live on the phone by Stephen Cousins, who is National Donor Services Manager at the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Dan.
Not a bad morning this morning.
No,
thank God it's dry so far. Apparently the rest of the week is not great. But anyway, enough about the weather. Firstly, Stephen, can you tell us where you're based?
We're actually based in the James's Hospital campus, is where the Irish Blood Transfusion Service has its headquarters. But people probably know us more from the in Dublin, certainly in terms of the clinic we have in Dalier Street, where we actually collect the blood. But where we are in James is it's made up of all the administrative side of things, but it's also all of our labs. So it was a building that was built in 2000, and it's very much brought everything together, whereas before that it was quite dispersed around the country.
Now, for people like myself, Stephen, who've never donated blood, what can you tell us about the process?
Well, the process is it's fairly straightforward, in that, you know, what happens is when you come in, we register anybody comes in, and then we have a chat with them about kind of their lifestyle and their medical history. So there's a form that people fill in that asks them a whole series of questions. There's a lot of questions in that, and then based on that, a nurse will sit down and kind of go through the form in more detail, just to understand what is the medical history. And that's very much about ensuring that there's nothing in your medical history that would impact on a donor receiving blood, a patient receiving blood, and it can be quite surprising to people at times, because they kind of go, well, that's not something major, that was a minor thing. But I suppose the issue there is that when a donor's receiving blood, their immune system is very, very low, so we've got to be really, really careful in terms of the blood they receive. But anyway, so when they've done the interview, the other thing that we do as well is we check people's iron levels. To make sure that, again, that's more from the donor point of view, to make sure that their iron is sufficient, so that it's okay for them to be given blood. And then after that, it's straight through to the donation process. And the actual donation process only takes about 10 minutes to actually give blood, and we take about a pint of blood. And once you've completed that part of it, people sit down and have the tea and the biscuits just to recover for 10-15 minutes, make sure everything's okay.
Makes it worth it, yeah.
Yes.
Do you need to know your blood type, Stephen? Because I'm 53 and I don't think I know mine.
it's very few people do actually. No, you don't at all. That we take care of that. So, if you're a new donor coming in, what actually happens is when your blood goes off to be tested, that's one of the things we're checking as well, is the blood group, so that we categorise you after that. But if you're an existing donor coming back in, then we've already categorised your blood group, and that stays the same all your life. That's how that happens. You'd be surprised, actually, a lot of blood donors don't even know their blood group, even though it's on the card that they'd have. It's something people kind of forget. Unless they're, funny enough, if people are O neg, or in fact, if there are any of the blood groups that are very rare, so O neg would be only 8% of the population, AB neg would only be 1 or 2% of the population, they always know then that their blood is quite rare. But generally, people, if they're existing donors, they may not know it, but anybody else, generally they don't know their blood group at all.
The next question kind of ties in a little bit about something that you mentioned earlier, Stephen. Are there any exemptions as to who can and who can't give blood?
Yes, there are actually quite a few exemptions. I suppose that can be very disappointing for people, that when they get to the point that they come to the clinic and they've said, yeah, this is something I really want to do, and it could be that the motivation could be around that maybe they've seen a family member who's required blood, or they know someone's required blood, and they go, yeah, I'd love to do that, but then they find out for whatever reason that they're not able to give blood. And that does go back to the point of it's got to be right for the patient receiving it. So there are quite a number of kind of reasons that come across for people can't give blood, and actually the one that people kind of forget about most, but is the main one, is that the donor's feeling well. So people might have a case of sniffles, they shouldn't be given blood in that case then. And what we say is don't come in until you're feeling better, and maybe even wait a week or so after that. But then there's other things like what's known as the UK ban. So anybody who lived in the UK for more than a year between 1980 and 1996, they're currently unable to give blood in Ireland. Although that is something that we will be looking at in the very near future, and hopefully there might be some changes in that area.
Now, if I give blood today, Stephen, how long will it be before I can donate blood again?
So it's 90 days. It's a minimum of 90 days, and that just gives your body time to recover. Now that can be slightly different in other countries, but we go 90 days, and it's really just, we've got to be very careful about how we manage donors and make sure that we're not taking too much blood from them, because we have to make sure that they reach that hemoglobin level when we do the test on clinic. So every 90 days that you're able to give blood. Now that's I suppose it's worth saying as well, we actually collect another blood product as well. It's called platelets, and we do that in a very separate service, and we actually do that in our James's Hospital here, or on the campus in James's Hospital, and that's actually, it's a different thing in that that we've a machine that takes platelets and blood from the body, but it puts the blood back in again. So actually platelet donors are able to give once every month, and for some people that's actually it's worth looking at, because we've only very few places where we can actually collect platelets, but generally for blood donors anyway it's every 90 days.
For people who don't know what platelets do, am I right in saying that they're involved in the clotting mechanism? Is that it?
That's it, yeah. Really, really important. Anybody who's fighting cancer, there's a really good chance they'll receive platelets as part of that. And it's a difficult one for us actually, because the way platelets work, we only collect them in, as I say, in James's here in Dublin, and then we've a clinic in Cork City where we collect as well, because it can't be done at our mobile units. But the thing about platelets is that platelets only last for up to 5 days. So if you think about when we collect them and then we have to process them through our testing, and then make them available to the hospital's got to use them within a day or two of receiving them, and after that they can't use them. So, you know, we're always under pressure for platelet donors, because we don't know what kind of levels of supply we're going to have this time next week unless the donors are actually coming in. So we know what appointments we have. We've got to make sure we've donors coming in there. So it's something worth bearing in mind for people in Dublin that they should look at maybe thinking giving platelets as well. There's only certain people can give it, and it's generally more male than female. And it's all to do with vein size and your platelet count as well, which is different to the iron level count. So there's kind of an eligibility of its own for platelets, but it's definitely something worth thinking about.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's Blood Donor Day on the 14th of June. Have you any events planned for the day itself, Stephen?
Well, the big one we do is on the 14th of June, and it's actually fallen on the 14th of June this time, is we have our donor award ceremony. So we have that in Santry. And what we do is we invite for the greater Dublin area. We invite donors who have given 50 times and 100 times. So we send an invitation out to them, and they come in, and we have just a lovely night. It's we have a meal. There's a presentation of everybody for the 50s and 100 donation, and we have various speakers come in and speak as well. And there's always we always try and get a recipient speaker in who kind of talks about the impact of people giving blood. And if you think, if someone has given 100 donations, that's a lot of lives that they have saved over the years. So it's obviously always a lovely occasion, and it's really nice when we do that on World Blood Donor Day. And then we've a number of things out around the clinics where we just try and create a little bit of a buzz, just to kind of recognise the contribution that donors make.
We spoke a few moments ago about platelets. What about bone marrow donations? Do you accept them as well?
We do, yes. So bone marrow is slightly different. So to be able to be on the bone marrow registry, you have to be a blood donor. And again, there's certain criteria that we would particularly look for with bone marrow registry. But I suppose that the one thing with the bone marrow is that, if you think about when you're given blood, that's going to an Irish hospital. With the bone marrow, it's more that you go onto a world database of bone marrow donors, potential donors, so that people can search then from anywhere around the world. So it could be that a donor who decides, I want to be a bone marrow donor, they could then become that donor for someone at the other side of the world. But similarly, that's because you get down to a level, it's not just blood group, then you're getting down to a lot of different markers within the blood to kind of match that for a bone marrow donor. It could be that then that for somebody in Ireland, it could be somebody from anywhere in Europe or anything like that, like, as well. Like, but the key thing there is that you get as many people onto the world donor base as possible.
How important is a day like Blood Donor Day, Stephen, in helping raise awareness and, if you like, putting a few more bums on seats?
It's really important. There's a couple of stats we quote, and it always does amaze people, is that, 1 in 4 people will require a blood transfusion at some point in their lives. So, if that's not ourselves, it's quite possibly it's a member of our family. It's certainly somebody that we know in our community. So, you know, the requirement for blood touches on every family at some point. And you think, you know, that most people who suffer from cancer will receive blood transfusion and platelet transfusion. So you can imagine that it impacts on a lot of people. The other side of that is that only 3% of the eligible population are active donors. So, you know, you've got a lot of people requiring on a very small group of people. And I think that the kind of where awareness days really help on this kind of thing is that nobody disagrees that, you know, giving blood is a bad thing. Everybody says, yes, I should give blood. And everybody has that intention and very, very well intended to do so. But the actual number of people who follow it through and actually become blood donors is much, much lower. And that's the bit we kind of struggle in, that we have to get that message out there to people all the time that, you know, you should be thinking about giving blood. And again, if you think one of the things that happens here at the age group, that maybe for younger people it's not something they see as being relevant to them. To think of blood transfusions as being something that, you know, older people require it and older people do give blood, kind of, you know, when they get older and have kids, their own kids. But actually, we do need younger people to be thinking about giving blood as well. We do want to try and reduce the age of the donor base as it is at the moment. And so we've got to compete with, you know, people of very busy lives. So it is something we try and get across, that it's really important that people start to think about giving blood and come into clinics.
Do you bring your service, Stephen, into the workplace? And if so, how can people get in touch?
We do a little bit of that. One of the keys is that for us in that is that whenever we run a blood donation clinic, we have to make sure that we get enough blood from that particular clinic, because we've only a very limited number of clinics we can run in any given week. So, you know, when we send a team out, it could be a team of up to, you know, 18-20 people going out to collect blood. So we've got to make sure that we're, you know, getting attendances of at least 100 people, or probably even actually ensuring that we get at least 100 donations from any one clinic. So there's not a lot of employers who can kind of guarantee that kind of turnout, because to get 100 donations, you probably need 1,000 people working there. So we do a limited amount of where we actually go out to the workplace and set up a clinic there. But what we do really, really successfully, and particularly in Dublin, is we run a service where we can bring people from their workplace to our clinic. We have a fixed centre clinic in Dalier Street, and we can arrange for people to have appointments. So if you think that you're working in a small little company somewhere around Dublin, and maybe there's 10 people interested in giving blood, well, we can arrange for, you know, appointments for all those 10 people. We can arrange for taxis to bring them in to give blood, to go through the appointment system, so they're generally back out within an hour and a half, or back in work. Certainly, you know, probably 2 hours will cover the whole thing in terms of work. And that's probably the best way that we can kind of enable people from who are working to kind of be able to go in and give blood. But to do that, obviously, they need the support of their employer. But it is something that's really important to us for Dalier Street clinics as well, to kind of keep them busy. And we do get quite a number of people from various jobs that come in and give blood.
Just back to the process itself, Stephen. To the best of my knowledge, you know, adults have between, I think it's 8 and 10 pints of blood in them. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but would you really notice a pint of blood if you donate it? I mean, how do you feel afterwards, or is it different strokes for different folks?
It's a little bit different, but but by and large, it's when we measure the hemoglobin level, the key thing there is that what we're making sure is that you know, we're not taking that your iron levels are at a sufficient level, and that we're not taking too much from you that you might feel unwell afterwards. Now, for some people, they can feel a little bit faint. It does happen every now and then. And that's why we actually have the whole idea of the cup of tea and the biscuits at the end, is just to make sure people take a few minutes after giving blood, sit down and make sure they're feeling well. Vast amount of people, it's no impact at all in terms of how they feel. We do say now, you know, remain rested, don't do exercise, strenuous exercise, for the rest of that day. Next day you should be fine, and you know, you can take it from there. But for most people, it's not really a problem in terms of how they feel. In fact, there's the other side of that as well, is that, you know, people walk away knowing that they've given blood, and as they get more used to it, they actually know that they're saving lives, and that makes them feel very, very well. It's kind of a mental health side of things, actually, that's a real positive from giving blood.
Just on the physical side of it, where is the blood taken from? Is it the arm?
Yeah.
And what's that process there? I'm quite squeamish, I have to confess. So I don't know what the process would entail. I'm sure there's a little bit of pain. It's a little bit of a... I'm sure you notice something. But people like myself who might be a bit nervous, might be a bit fearful about giving blood, because me and needles don't go together at all. Yeah. But, what can you tell us this morning that might help us allay our fears?
Well, I suppose, nobody, everybody's a fear needled in that. Nobody likes, why stick a needle in if there's no reason for it, So nobody's going to kind of welcome that side of it. It really isn't a big deal when people come in to give blood, and a lot of people actually have that fear of needles, are a bit concerned about what it's going to be like, and, when the needle's going in, they're looking away and they're feeling, God, what's going to happen here? It really isn't the issue for them that they felt it was going to be. So they get over that very quickly, and a lot of donors go, is that it? They were expecting an awful lot more. That said, still people walk in nervous about it, naturally. So one thing we do say is that in that case, it's no harm to bring a friend, or maybe come to a clinic with somebody who's a regular blood donor, because the proof is in the pudding there. You can kind of see that, these people are doing this regularly, and they see there's no issue with it whatsoever. Our staff are very, very experienced. We take over 150,000 donations a year, so they do this day in, day out. So they're very, very good in terms of how to actually manage that process, and they're very good at putting people at ease and chatting to them. And it becomes quite an ordinary thing in terms of the process. So I would say to people, it's natural to be a bit concerned and natural to be a bit anxious about it, but it's something people get over very, very quickly.
And what about people who might live down the country, Stephen, or who might live in remote areas who'd like to donate blood? How can they contribute, or would they have to make their way to a centre?
No, we have a number of fixed centres. So we've a fixed centre in Dalier Street, we've a fixed centre in Glamorgan, and we've a fixed centre in Cork. Beyond that, the way we collect blood is actually that we go out to local communities. And we do that in Dublin as well. So the likes of, we would be in Artane. So we're in Artane on the 11th of July. So we go out there for a night to the recreation centre in Kilmore Road. And people come in. So we'd inform all of our donors beforehand that this clinic is on. There's a certain panel for that covers kind of the whole Artane, Beaumont area. And they'd come into that particular clinic, and we'd collect it for 3 or 4 hours on that given night. So we do that... 4 or 5 nights a week. We do that all around the country, and we've staff based from different areas in Ireland that go out and stay in those communities that night, and then come back again, and then go out to a different community the next night. So the whole idea of community is actually really, really important, and we're very fortunate in Ireland to be able to do that, because I know from other countries they don't have that stronger sense of community. So the blood donation clinic wouldn't be kind of a part of the infrastructure of local communities the way kind of maybe the post office and the Garda station and the credit union are. That's normal in Ireland. And when we go out to a community, again, if we take like we've another clinic very often in Coolock, and we have that in the Parnell's ground, so we would then be relying on Parnell's GA team to let their members know about the clinic, but also any local community groups in the area and any donors in the area, telling everybody around, listen, the clinic's on whatever date it is, and getting people to come in. So we're very fortunate that we can kind of rely on communities to help us that way.
And in the 30 seconds or so that we have left, Stephen, for people who'd like to get involved and donate a pint of their blood to you, how can they do so? Do they contact you by email? Is it by phone? What's the process?
The really big thing to first do is go to our website, giveblood.ie, because there's a lot of information there that kind of helps people understand what's going on. But the first thing they can do is take a really quick test, a quiz, that kind of pretty much runs through the main reasons why somebody might not be able to give blood. So it's effectively an eligibility test. If they still feel that, yeah, they're eligible after that, there's also a place where you can find what clinics are coming up, and you can see there how to contact the various clinics. So if, Dalier Street, as I say, it's a fixed centre, so that's always on Monday to Friday. So there's a number there where you can ring. It's 01474 5000, and that's for making an appointment. But I would say to people, go to the website first, just check your eligibility, and then after that you can see kind of very easily how to find clinics.
Well, Stephen, thanks a million for talking to us this morning.
Pleasure.
And again, that event that's taking place next month, I think you mentioned, in the recreation centre up in Bowmont. Yeah. That's right beside us here. So
yeah, in Artane. Yeah,
in Artane, yeah. So maybe if we keep in touch, we can get some more information a little bit later on and give it to people a little bit closer to the day itself. I think might
That'd
be a good
brilliant.
Idea. Great stuff. Stephen, thanks so many for talking to us here in Lifeline this morning.
Thanks.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And I was joined there by Stephen Cousins, who is the National Donor Services Manager at the Irish Blood Transfusion Service.